Seventh-day Adventists. Now, before we talk about Seventh-day Adventists, I want to talk to you about things from the viewpoint of Jesus Christ, because I'm nobody who can judge. I may have a difference of opinion. I may have the things that I like or I don't like. But who's to tell me what is right to believe and what is wrong to believe? So from the viewpoint of Jesus, we can summarize some of the things that he firmly believed and that he said we need to believe if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be different than the world, if we're going to be a follower of God. So, from the viewpoint of Jesus, Jesus said there is only one God. Didn't he say that? He actually quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And there's only one God. His name is Jehovah. It's not Elohim. It's not Allah. It's not Krishna. There's one God. Jesus believed there's only one God. Jesus believed and taught that God's people, I'm sorry to say, are not Irish, they're not American, they're not Nigerian, they are the Jews. When you see all that stuff going off over there in the Middle East, and Israel being surrounded and constantly being pressured, I mean, I'm no fan of the Jewish culture. You and I would not be free to worship in Israel. But they are God's people. Now, they're away from God, but don't you dare curse them. They are God's people. And Jesus said that salvation, if you want to get saved, you're going to have to go to the Jews. You're going to have to read a Jewish Bible. You're going to have to follow and believe on a Jewish Savior. So, God's people are the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thirdly, from the viewpoint of Jesus, the Bible alone is the Word of God, and it is true. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written. He was speaking of something that was already written. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them, cleanse them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus believed that God's word was true. He believed in the Bible. All right? From the viewpoint of Jesus Christ, he said he was the only way to God. How audacious. How exclusive. Well, according to Jesus Christ, he's the only way to God. Amen? You see, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, this is what he said is true, and you're going to have to believe that. You can't believe that he is a way, and that people who are sincere, they find their way. No, no, no. He's the only way. He himself is the only way to God. He also said that what he did by his life and his death was all that was needed to save the world. What did John the Baptist say when he pointed to Jesus Christ when he was getting ready to baptize him? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus on the cross said, it's almost finished. Is that what he said? No, he finished it. At the cross. You have some wackos out there, weirdos, crazy people who say that Jesus went to hell for 3 days and 3 nights. That would imply that what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. That he had to go and suffer in hell. Folks, he didn't go to hell. He went to paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in hell. Is that what he said to the man on the cross next to him? No, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So, Jesus, what he did by his life, his perfect life, and by his perfect death on the cross was enough to save anybody. Number 6, Jesus said he was coming again. Is that good news? I think that's good news. Amen? Jesus is coming again. You better believe that. Don't get discouraged. He also said, and this is very important, I'll go with something with this. He said no one knows the day or the hour of his return. That's very important. I'll say why in just a moment. And he said one last thing. There's a few more you could add to this, but number 8, he said Christians are to follow him, not men and not religions. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say go to my mother. He didn't say go to my disciples. He said, come unto me. All right. So with all that said, if you mess with any of those beliefs, you're a cult. You see what I'm saying? This is not, well, that's just the Baptists. I don't care what the Baptists say. I care what Jesus said. Jesus pointed out clearly all of those things. There's a few more, but the point being this. You start to mess with, somebody stands up and says, I'm a prophet, and Jesus is coming back on such and such day, such and such hour, write them off. Amen? That's a cult. Somebody says, you need the Bible and tradition. They're a cult. You need a Bible and this new revelation. It's a cult. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when we come, and I say this every time, when we come to the place where we're standing and meeting head to head with a Seventh-day Adventist, with a Mormon, with a Jehovah's Witness, we're not doing it full of pride. I know more than you. I have more truth than you. My church is... We don't come that way. What do we say? This is what Jesus said, and He's the standard. And what He said is true. If you don't agree with Him, you're a cult. Does that make sense? All right. So, going into this, let's talk about Seventh-day Adventists. Now, they're not very big here in Ireland, but their doctrines permeate a lot of different religions and a lot of people. A lot of Christians saved fall out and fall away because they get stuck on the Sabbath. They get stuck on trying to understand how the law is supposed to work in our lives today. And they trip up and they stumble and they become offended at the Bible, and they start their own little group, and they have their little Bible study in their home, and they will not go to any church anymore because they're believing the same doctrines that the Seventh-day Adventists believe. They're not Mormon. They're not Jehovah's Witness. But they won't be Christian anymore. They try to be good Jews today. And that's what Seventh-day Adventists attempt to do. Now, Seventh-day Adventists. They basically teach these things. And I'll just begin to talk about one of them. Alright, they believe that the only day to worship is Saturday. Saturday is the day of the Sabbath. That's the seventh day of the week. They believe the only day that you're supposed to worship is Saturday. Second thing that they believe is that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. He is not God in the flesh. He's an angel. Third thing they believe is that ultimately Satan is going to bear all of our sins. Jesus didn't carry them all. Wow. Do you see that list I gave you at the beginning? When you don't understand the basic truths of the gospel and of the Bible, when you don't see how important they are, you're not going to be able to discern and be able to say, wow, that's wrong. But when you know it, you go, how could Satan carry our sins? But they believe that. They believe that Jesus has not finished His atoning work. Right now, He's still working at getting rid of our sins. Wow. They believe that there is going to be a day where you will stand before God and God will examine you and find out all the good things you did and all the bad things you did and weigh them up. And hopefully you'll get into heaven. Get into eternity. There will be an investigative judgment out in the future. You know what the Bible says? There is now, therefore, no condemnation. I do not experience the weighing judgment of God. That was poured out on Jesus Christ. Amen? I get to go in by grace, not by works, but to a Seventh-day Adventist, they're worried about standing before God and not measuring up. You know, a lot of Christians still believe that. They wonder, Lord, I guess I've blown it again. How many times are you going to forgive me? God, I'm not measuring up. God, I'm not going to get into heaven now, am I? That's the Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, that you have to measure up to heaven. You'll never measure up. There's something where they believe that the dead don't exist anymore, that when a person dies, they go into a state that they call soul sleep, and they're not really anywhere until the resurrection, and then God resurrects both soul and spirit, soul and body, to be judged. So when somebody is being laid in a grave, they are gone until God resurrects them. They're not anywhere. And that's a scary thing. There's no heaven to a Seventh-day Adventist. There's just a grave until the resurrection, and that's when they're judged. What else? They have no joy at a funeral. Now, I weep at the loss of somebody that I've loved and I know is saved, but I don't weep like the world does. I know I'm going to see them again. And I know that they're in a far better place. They're running around. They're dancing. They're shouting. They're praising God. They are more alive after death than they ever were before they were dead. But to a Seventh-day Adventist, they're gone. Not for another 1,000 years. Maybe then they'll be resurrected. They also believe that the wicked, the unsaved, are, when they are resurrected and proven to be wicked, not ever good enough to be saved, they are then disintegrated, annihilated. How many of you remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons? There was one time where Bugs Bunny got on a rocket ship and he found himself on Mars. And there's this little Martian creature. It was just a big bowling ball with eyes and feet. And he went, I hate him. And they got into a fight with the two spaceships, and there was Martian. He's just this, again, a black ball with a helmet and everything. He fired his disintegrator ray gun. And he would shoot it, and it would disintegrate things. But that's what, and it's kind of funny, but I want you to understand that that's what they believe God's going to do to you. That if you're not good enough to get in heaven, He will just get rid of you. They believe that hell is not eternal. They believe that if there is hellfire, it's only a little bit, and it won't last forever. They believe that Ellen G. White, one of the prophetesses, that her writings are equal with the Bible. Watch out for that. Again, if the Bible's not sufficient, you'll always be looking at other people trying to tell you what to believe. And that's a cult. They also believe that you've got to keep a strict dietary laws of the Old Testament and start to live under legalism in order to be good enough to go to heaven. And they believe you can lose your salvation if you don't do all of that. That's what the Seventh-day Adventists believe. Some people actually believe that Seventh-day Adventists are really just some mixed-up Christians who just worship God on Saturday instead of Sunday. Let me tell you, they're a lot worse than that. They believe some wacko, crazy things that don't line up with what Jesus said. Does that make sense? You following me? All right. By the way, haven't we noted about cults? Almost all cults decide to write their own Bible. So here's this group, and they call their Bible the Clear Word Bible. What a way. As if your Bible's not clear. My brain's not clear. That book is clear. They write a Bible call, and there will be more about that next week. It will absolutely hurt you to know how they have written their own Bible to back up their own beliefs. So, anyway, let me talk to you about the history of this church, okay? Modern Seventh-day Adventism traces its history and its origins back to a guy named William Miller. 1782 to 1849, he lived in a little town called Lower Hampton, New York. All cults come from America. Isn't that weird? It's terrible. Mr. Miller was converted from deism to Christianity in 1816. He became a Baptist. I'm ashamed. He was an avid reader, dedicated to learning God's Word, and he sought to understand that all the difficulties that the skeptics were raising against the Bible. And he used his concordance to try to understand the Bible, which is a good start. But he focused on one big event, the second coming of Jesus Christ. He was really caught up, and he started preaching, you get it, at 50 years of age. That's not a bad thing at all. He independently concluded, all by himself, he concluded that Jesus would return sometime between March 21st, 1843, and March 21st, 1844. In that 365 days, he says, that's when Jesus is going to come. You know, the Americans went crazy. They believed him. Tens of thousands of people called themselves Millerites and said, we believe it. We believe it. He got his main thought from Daniel 8:14 that says there were 2,300 days from the temple, the closing of the temple until the reopening of the temple. And he says, wow, that's it. It all adds up to 1843. Now, it didn't happen. Matter of fact, he decided, okay, well, I was wrong, let me say, and he picked another date, and he said October 22nd, 1844, Jesus would come. Well, October 22nd came and went, and Jesus didn't come. So he gave up. That was the first smart thing he did. But when he stopped and he gave up, the Millerites all broke up, and they all got discouraged, and they all just went home. And that's a good thing, okay? It's not a bad thing. They ought to go back to the Bible, ought to go back to church and start following Jesus instead of worrying about His coming. As a matter of fact, there's a big movement today that says, we've got to get ready for the tribulation. We've got to live through the tribulation. That's a lie. Because all you're focusing on is that second coming instead of living for God now. We will go through tribulation, but we ain't going through the tribulation. That the period of time called the tribulation is for the Jews, it's for God's people, not for us. Folks, you're going to go through all hell on earth. People throughout history have gone through the Inquisition. They've gone through incredible tortures and troubles, But that ain't the tribulation. It's just trouble. And you and I are going to go through that. But don't you worry about the second coming. You worry about living for God. That's what Jesus Christ called us to do. So they broke up. Then there was a guy named Hired Edson who announced, I have a new vision. He said, heaven seemed to open to my view after he had some bad pizza. And I saw distinctly and clearly that instead of our high priest coming out of the most holy of the heavenly sanctuary to come to this earth on the 10th day of the 7th month at the end of the 2300 days, he has now entered into the second apartment of that sanctuary, and that he has a work to perform in that holy place before he comes to earth. What he just said in gobbledygook was, Jesus didn't come to earth. He's still working on our salvation. He just moved from the holy place into the holy of holies. But he hadn't come to earth yet. That was a false vision. That was a false vision because the Bible says Jesus has entered into the most holy place already. Jesus is seated down at the right hand of the Father, and he is seated. I'll ask Eric. There are 7 pieces of furniture in the temple, correct? Is there a chair there? Well, no. You just answered ahead of me. Is there a chair in the temple? Throughout the ages, when the tabernacle and the temple was in existence, they had the table of showbread, they had the menorah light, the 7 lamps, they had the altar of incense, the altar of sacrifice, they had the Ark of the Covenant. There was no chair. Because it was never finished. There was a constant sacrifice, a constant series of prayers, a constant anointing of the bread, a constant pouring of salt, a constant bringing in sacrifice. They never rested. But Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's done, folks. You see the difference? All right. So, Hiram Edson had a false vision. But you know what the problem is? All the Millerites believed him and got excited again. Well, that brought up a woman named Ellen G. Harmon White. And she lived up until 1915. Now, this is a sad thing. I'm just going to bring this up because everybody mentions it. She was hit with a rock hard in the face at 9 years old. Knocked her out for 3 weeks. She was in a coma for 3 weeks. They didn't think she was going to live. Well, when she woke up, she started to have dreams and visions. And by the time she was about 35, 40 years old, she had 200 distinct visions from heaven. She saw an angel guiding her and the Millerites into a new way. All those visions portrayed God's coming judgment, the fall of the world's empires, people began to accept her teachings, and if people didn't believe it, they were kicked out of their little groups or whatever. She married a guy named James White, who was a Millerite preacher, and she had 4 children, 4 sons, and her husband is the one that stated that she had 200 open visions in 23 years. In 1845, she had a vision of Jesus entering into the holy holies of this heavenly sanctuary, but that's where he is. He has not finished the work. He's still working at paying for our sin. And in 1847, she had a vision where she was taken into the holy of holies. Boy, that's audacious. And she saw the ark and the 10 commandments, and there was one thing. When she saw all the lines of the 10 commandments, there was a halo around one of those commandments. I'll give you one guess which commandment it was that God was highlighting. The Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. And that's where they took her as their prophet. They believed that God gave to this movement, in harmony with the forecast of all the prophecies, a manifestation of the prophetic gift in the person and writings of Miss Ellen G. White. They say that her prophecies prove that her writings were equal to that of Apostle Peter and Paul and James and all of them. So, 200 heavenly visions. She focused on the law and especially on the keeping of the Sabbath and took this group way off track.
Now,
Seventh-day Adventists believe that they have been raised up by God. This is the mark of the cult. Watch it. That they alone have been raised up by God as the last and greatest reformers of all time. They call people's attentions to the true Sabbath, or also known as the seal of God. And they believe the mark of the beast is when you observe Sunday as a day of worship. You all took the mark of the beast when you came to church today. They believe that. You ever get to witness to a Seventh-day Adventist, you invite them out to church, you watch how fierce they will get. I'm not going to church on a Sunday. They are fierce at it because they believe it is the worship of the Antichrist. That is so drilled into them. So, let's talk about the Sabbath. We're only going to talk about it a little bit. But I want to give you some news about the Sabbath. Show you their proof text, okay? The first thing, go to Ezekiel. I was about to say Exodus. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 32. I said 32. It should be Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Ezekiel 20. If you haven't found Ezekiel, you should be ashamed. You better find it. That's in your Bible. Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. Verse 12. Did I say 20? I'm sorry. Verse 12. Verse 20 now. And hallow, make holy my Sabbath. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Now go to chapter 31. Chapter 31 and verse 12, verse 13. 31 verse 13. That is not right. Ezekiel 31. I know I need to be 17. Maybe it's 21. 21, 13. You see that? Nope. I have no idea where I am. Well, forget it. They have two proof texts, and I wrote it down for some reason. I've got 31 there. It's not 31. Verse 13 and verse 17. But anyway. Now look. They use these proof texts saying, and this is what it generally says, I gave my Sabbath as a proof that you're my people. And you're not my people, this is their point, you're not God's people unless you keep the Sabbaths. That's their point. Now, a guy named Bates, I don't know what his first name was, I didn't finish the research, but a guy named Bates said that the Catholic Pope and the papacy, they're responsible for changing Christians from worshiping on the Sabbath to the being on the seventh day, to the first day, which is Sunday. And he said that those who keep the first day, Sunday, were worshiping the beast and therefore receiving his mark, and therefore they were damning their souls. That's how big it was. Now I'll show you next week, it doesn't matter what day you worship God on. You know, like I said this morning, you can worship God, we can have church on Tuesday. It doesn't matter at all. As a matter of fact, I don't care if the Seventh-day Adventists want to worship on Saturday. That doesn't make them wrong. If you want to worship God on Saturday, go ahead. That's not wrong. But they're saying that because we do it on Sunday, we're of the devil. You see where a cult comes in? They call themselves spiritual Israel. They've taken the place of Israel. Please be careful, because modern Christians have done that for the last 1,000 years. Modern Catholics, when I say modern, I mean for the last 1,000 years, they decided God is all through with Israel. We are spiritual Israel. All the blessings that belonged to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of those people are gone and wasted. They're nobodies. We get all the blessings of God. That's a cult mentality. All the promises that God made to Israel are still going to come true. Right? The only reason why you get to get into the promises that God gave to Israel is because you got in by faith. All right? You didn't have to become a Jew to get the blessings of God. You had to follow Jesus Christ. So they make the Sabbath a sign between God and them. And every follower of Jesus now, because they believe that they're following Jesus, they say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I keep the law. That's a contradiction of terms. You can't do that. Now, warning. Red flag. Once you attempt to keep and obey the laws concerning the seventh day, you're going to have to keep the laws relating to all the Sabbaths. Where did you find it? It is 20 verse 13. Let's see. Speak thou also unto the children. Know what it says? Nope. Nope, it's not the one I'm looking for. In 17. There's a lot in there about the Sabbath and about mice and all kinds of weird things or whatever. But it's a sign between the children of Israel forever. I'm sorry, I don't know where it is. Now, if you're going to try to keep Saturday as the day that you worship God, you're going to have to keep all the laws relating to the Sabbath. And there are about a dozen different Sabbaths you're going to have to start worrying about. Not just Saturday. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Secondly, you cannot stop with just the Sabbath. If you say, oh, I believe it's wrong to go to church on a Sunday. I believe we're supposed to worship God on the Saturday. If you start to worry about worshiping God only on Saturday, and you're trying to do it because the Bible says it about the Sabbath, you're going to have to start worrying about a lot more than just the Sabbath, because all the laws, let me tell you this, the Sabbath is the anchor, are you listening, of all the laws of the Old Testament. If you claim to be a follower of God, you had to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the anchor. It went right along with circumcision. It was the foundation, but it was the foundation for an entire system of laws. You have to start obeying all the laws of the Old Testament. Third, you're going to end up being a Jew. Are you listening? You're going to end up being a Jew. Last time I read my Bible, go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. And that one I think I got right. Galatians 3:28. According to the Bible, there are no longer, for God, any Jews or Gentiles when you become a Christian. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither now what? Jew nor Greek. And Greek means a non-Jew, a Gentile, an Irish, American. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What are we? We're Christian. I don't want to be a good Jew. I want to be a good Christian. Go to Colossians. Go to the right. Find Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Look at verse 10. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man. Amen. I'm not worried about an old man. I'm worried about putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's talking about Jesus. For there is now, watch it. I say now because is a present tense. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. That's all we worry about is him. So, if you attempt to start keeping the seventh day and keeping it as your day of worship and the day that you got to keep all the laws relating to the Sabbath, you're going to end up trying to be a Jew. And Jesus came to free us from trying to be anything but a follower of him. Now, what is the Sabbath? Let me just show you. Let's see if we can... Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. We kind of already said it, but let's look at it again. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. What is the Sabbath? Ezekiel 20 verse 12. I mean, they use it themselves, but they don't realize who God is talking to. Look in verse 10, and somebody help me find out if this is speaking of the Irish. Look at it. Verse 10. Wherefore, I caused them to go forth out of the land of... Did you ever leave Egypt? No, you didn't. And brought them into the wilderness. Did you ever go through the wilderness? Probably didn't. And I gave them my statutes, my laws, and showed them my judgments. If a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them, not the whole world. Are you listening? He didn't give the whole world. He gave to them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. So, when my wife gave me my ring, what did she do when she gave me this ring? She gave it as a sign that she owns me. Amen. And when God gave Israel the sign of the Sabbath, it was a sign of ownership. You're my people. Do you understand? That's what the Sabbath was. It was a sign between the Lord God Jehovah and Israel. It is not for Christians. Now let me stop there for a second. Let me say this. At the head of the game, I'll say more about this next week. 6 days you work, and one day you don't. That is a great principle. And if you work 6 days and you get Sunday off, praise God. Do you know some jobs won't let you take Sunday off, will they? No. If you're a Garda, if you're an A&E, thank God people are working on Sunday. Amen. Thank God they work on Saturday. Amen. But boy, the principle is you don't need to work 7 days a week. You need to have a day off. Amen. And God designed us to work 6 days and one day off. God's people had to make sure, God's Old Testament people, the Jews, had to make sure that they made sure that day was Saturday. What day is it for you? I don't know. I hope you make it Sunday. I've always, when I worked, and I worked lots of different jobs, first thing I asked when I was being interviewed, I said, can I have Sunday off? But they might not hire you. I know, but I needed to be in church. What are you laughing at? You're making me nervous over here. I was like, all right. All right. Listen. I thought I said something stupid, which is normal. Anyway. I found my verse. Anyway. I've always asked, and you know what my employers always gave me? An opportunity to miss Sundays. I actually was working for a company that's kind of like Argos. And I got to work in the audiovisual department and selling stereos. And they had to do a Sunday all day. They were closing down doing an inventory Sunday. And I said, can I have off? I didn't demand. I didn't say, I'm a Christian. I'm not working on Sunday. I said, can I have off on Sunday? You know I go to church on Sunday. I was a new Christian, and I was trying to make sure that I stayed consistent. My boss said, there are no exceptions. And I went, okay. But if you change your mind, let me know. He said, what are you going to do anyway? I said, I go to church. And I'd never witnessed to him. I was in his office and I sat down and I said, can I show you why Sunday's very important to me? I got to give him the gospel. You know what he said at the end? He said, don't tell anybody, but you can have the day off. Praise God. Now, if he had said I had to work, hey, I needed the money, I would have had to have gone in. Do you understand? And God would have understood. But if I decided, you know, I make time and a half on a Sunday, you know, God will understand. No, God won't understand. You're loving money more than God. But the point is, 6 days work, one day rest. That is a good principle. We live by a principle now, not by the law. Does that make sense? The Jews had to live by a law. So let's go on now. Secondly, what is the Sabbath? It was to remind those keeping it of their slavery. Where? We just read it. In Egypt. The purpose of the Sabbath was to get them to sit down and go, it's because God freed us, that we have a day of rest, that we can stop and worship God. When they lived in Egypt, when they served in Egypt, how many days do you think they worked? 7 days a week. It wore them out. And the Sabbath reminded them they've been given rest. Hey, your keeping of the Sabbath doesn't remind you of anything. Does that make sense? Because it doesn't match you and me. That's for the Jews. It's a great principle. But it doesn't match. Number three. As I said, the Sabbath is the foundation of all the Old Testament. They all tie into the Sabbath. It is incredible. All 618 laws tie into the Sabbath. And it's really freaky. I want to show you. You see, there were other Sabbaths. One of them, let's go to 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles. I'm not going to belabor this point. Don't worry. But I do want to give you an appreciation for the fact that we are free, folks. Now, it's a shame that, like I preached this morning, because we're free and we can basically worship any day we want, people say, well, I don't need to be in church at all. What is that? That's abuse of grace. Just because God didn't say, thou shalt worship only on Sunday, doesn't mean that you don't have to worship any day. No. As a matter of fact, throughout the New Testament, it's on the first day of the week the Christians love. But it also says this. I'll go ahead and tell you ahead of time. It says, and every day, and in every house, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. So they basically were having church every day they could. Amen? So don't get hung up on the day. Get hung up on the Savior. So, 1 Chronicles 23:31. 1 Chronicles 23:31. To offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbath. Circle the little S in the end there. In the new moons. And in the set feasts by number according to the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. I'll tell you what this is saying in a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 8 and verse 13. Second Chronicles chapter 8 and verse 13. Look at verse 12. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and it goes on and on and on. I want you to see that there were, according to Leviticus, I'm not going to go there, you can write these down, look them up, there were more than just one Sabbath in the Bible. There was the Sabbath on Saturday, but there was also the Sabbath of months. It was in the seventh month, they would have a special Sabbath in the middle of the year, the seventh month. They just stopped, and it wasn't on a Saturday, it was a day settled on the first day of the seventh month that they were to stop and just thank God. Just praise God. It was just a great thing to do. There was also a Sabbath of years, Leviticus chapter 25, and that was every 7 years they were to stop and have one day where they just worshiped God. As a matter of fact, when the plowing and the planting went through, after 7 years of plowing, what were they supposed to do to that field? They were supposed to let that field have a break for a whole year. It was a Sabbath of rest for the field. There was a Sabbath also of Sabbaths, which means seven sets of 7 years. In the 50th year was a celebration where all debts were canceled. Wouldn't you like to buy your house on the 49th year and have it all forgiven on the 50th? Amen. That was the Sabbath of Sabbath. It was a time where they said, it's not Saturday, it's the 50-year Sabbath. There was also a Sabbath when the new moon was new, when the moon was new, and that was when there was no moon, and it was a Sabbath, and they were just supposed to gather around and fellowship and worship God. And did you know the moon goes new not on Saturdays always? It goes new on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, and on that day, they had to stop and go, it's a Sabbath. It may not be Saturday, but because it's the new moon, we can't work. We can't light a fire. Do you understand what the Sabbath required? You couldn't light a fire. And then the Sabbaths were on every one of the feast days. In John chapter 19, I'll show you this. John chapter 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 19, verse 31. Right after Jesus says, it is finished. John 19:31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the what day? All right, now notice, that is not Saturday. How many days does Jesus have to be on the cross? 3 days. How many nights? 3 nights. What'd you say? I'm sorry, how many times? Yeah, forgive me. From the time that Jesus is on the cross until the resurrection. That's right, how many times does he have to be dead? How many days does he have to be dead? Not on the cross, but dead. He has to be dead for 3 days and 3 nights, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Now, look, they won't allow Jesus to be on the cross because of the coming Sabbath day. So what does every Catholic believe? That Jesus died on what day? Friday. And therefore, Saturday was the Sabbath. And lo and behold, praise God, Sunday is the first day of the week. That's when Jesus rose from the dead. You can't fit 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning. So yes, we know that he actually died on Wednesday night right at 6 p.m. So going through, what was the Sabbath day? Look in the parentheses. For that Sabbath day was a what? Was a high day, a special feast day. What feast was it that Jesus died on just before? The Passover. And that was a Sabbath day. It was a day that was to be no work. As a matter of fact, they said about Jesus, you got to get him off the cross before the Sabbath because we can't work on the Sabbath and take him down from the cross. We got to get him down now. That's why Joseph Arimathea begged for the body of Jesus. So here's the point. There's a Saturday Sabbath. You understand that? But there was a Sabbath also on Thursday. And that was the Passover. The Passover was on Thursday and they called it what kind of a day? A Sabbath day. So, if somebody says, I keep the Sabbath, tell them, all of them? Not 52 of them, one every week, but all the ones that are for every one of the feast days, and there's 7 of them. When there's a new moon, do you keep the Sabbath on a new moon? Do you keep the Sabbath every 50 years? Do you keep the Sabbath every 7 years? Do you keep the special Sabbath every at the 7th month? Folks, when you start to keep the Sabbath, you're going to have to keep a lot of things going. Like a juggler. A Jew was constantly keeping track of time. Do you ever wonder why they built huge objects like Stonehenge? Why they built things like New Grange to keep track of days? Because their worship, their false gods demanded on certain days, certain things were done, certain sacrifices were done. Well, God said, keep my Sabbaths. And the Jews had to know, what day is it? What is it? Is it a Sabbath? I can't work. We should have collected food yesterday. We should have fixed food yesterday. They had to keep the Sabbath. Now, with the Sabbath, you not only need to take a day off from work. You had to keep all 7 of the feast days, as I already said. You know, it was on Sabbath, and we don't have time. I'm just going to mention these things. You had to make 3 yearly pilgrimages to Jerusalem for Sabbath day. What was everybody doing in Jerusalem? Oh, let me ask it this way. Who was in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified? Let me put it that way. Allison, who was all there? Were there just a few extra people? Was it tourist season? When Jesus was crucified, why was the place packed out? Does anybody know? Yes, it was the Passover, and they were mandatory to be there for that Sabbath. Do you have to go to Jerusalem every year to keep that Sabbath worship? No, you don't. Now, Seventh-day Adventist is only worried about keeping Saturday Sabbath, but they don't know their Bible. Their Bible says when you start to keep the Sabbath, you got to keep a lot more than just Saturday. Yearly pilgrimages to Jerusalem. Your fathers have to be Jewish, not Gentile. Go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. How many of you have Jewish fathers? I knew it. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, 22. Listen, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. You can't carry something during the Sabbath day. You can't move the couch. Ladies, that's the day you can't get your husband to move anything. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath as I commanded your father. So were your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents Jewish? No. It doesn't apply to you. Do you understand? If you keep the Sabbath, you're going to have to start tithing to the Levites instead of the church. Oh, boy. They love your money. They're trying to rebuild a temple over there in Israel. If you keep the Sabbath, you're going to have to keep circumcision. Throughout the New Testament. I mean, you see at the beginning, you see the Jews. What did they do? 8 days after a child was born, on the 8th day after Jesus was born, they circumcised him. On what day? I'll give you one guess. What day did they circumcise? The Sabbath. They circumcised on the Sabbath. Folks, circumcision, you're going to have to start enforcing circumcision. And yet we read in the Bible, there's neither circumcision nor circumcision important in the body of Christ now. Amen? You can't work, are you listening? For 24 hours. There's no fires, no heat turned on. You'd freeze. Can you imagine that, the Sabbath being kept in Iceland? Let's do that. Let's make all the people in Iceland keep the Sabbath.
I can't light a fire.
It wouldn't work. No buying or selling at all. Now, I like that. They called them in America, they called the Sunday laws, where you couldn't sell, they called them blue laws, because everybody was sad they couldn't go to shop, they couldn't go shopping. But I like that. There's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, they just got rid of the last Sunday prohibition laws up in the Shetland Islands just like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It was a sad day. He says, we all of our shops are always closed on a Sunday. I like that. But God didn't say you had to close the stores. As a matter of fact, it's not a thus saith the Lord. It's a decision that Christians ought to make. Let's close all the shops. Let's make sure everybody's in church, and let's make sure everybody's at home worshiping God and spending time with each other. And let's just make laws. It's not what God said, it's what Christians ought to decide to have blue laws. I love that. Because they have a principle from the Old Testament. The necessity of a sanctuary or a temple. If you have a Sabbath, you gotta have a temple. Is there a temple today? Just me. Just you. There's a temple already. I don't have to go through a Levitical priesthood. I don't take the tithes and give them so that the temple is built. The temple's done. I'm already at rest. I have already entered into rest. Personal cleansing to keep the Sabbath. Nehemiah chapter 13 says as the people approached the Sabbath day, Nehemiah says, you've got to clean up your act in order to worship God on the Sabbath, on the Sunday. Personal holiness. Now this is why the Seventh-day Adventists all of a sudden turn to a lot of rituals to try to keep them holy. You know what keeps me holy? Jesus. He is my righteousness. Amen? He's my holiness. Now, I can get in sin, and I can get all messed up, but folks, I can't clean myself up. Are you listening? I can't clean myself up. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, but into the Old Testament, they didn't have the blood of Jesus Christ. They had to constantly take a bath. Hey, how many of you remember? How many of you were poor when you were growing up and you took a bath once a week? And you shared the water and then Dad drank it after and it was all done. But you know, what day did you take a bath? It was Saturday. That came from the Old Testament. You know that? That came where you got all cleaned up so that you go to church in your Sunday best on Sunday. Amen. But in the Old Testament, now that's just good principle. That's just good living. That's just clean living. But that doesn't make you more holy. But to a Seventh-day Adventist, ooh, that bath. Ooh, that spiritual evaluation. Everything is necessary for you to be holy. Jesus is the only thing necessary for me to be holy. Do you understand? Burnt offerings. Every Sabbath you saw there, Solomon made burnt offerings. How many of you brought a lamb to sacrifice on the Sabbath? You didn't at all. And no Seventh-day Adventist offers the sacrifice at all. But Numbers chapter 28 says you can't have the Sabbath without a sacrifice. Possession of holy things. Ezekiel 22 verse 8. I'm just going through these because I know it's kind of like, oh, over the head. But I want you to see something very practical in a second. There was a push for everybody to make sure everything in their home was holy, that there was no uncleanness, that there was no sin in the home, no idols, no nothing. That's a good principle, amen? But that was necessary in order to keep the Sabbath. And I've never met yet Seventh-day Adventist who goes to their house and gets rid of the TV. They'll turn it off, but they won't get rid of it. I've never met Seventh-day Adventists yet. They go around their house and say, this is holy, that's a holy chair. Not at all. But a Jew had holy things in their house. Folks, I don't make anything holy. I have a holy Bible. I have the Holy Spirit. Amen. a Levitical priesthood. Again, these things, I don't want to take the time, but the Sabbath required the Levitical priesthood in operation, that they were praying while people were praying and worshiping God. It was a whole system that you can't unlock without Christ. And you have to keep the old covenant. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah, you're in Jeremiah. Go back a few pages to Isaiah 55 and verse 6. What did I say? Isaiah 56, verse 6. Thank you. Isaiah 56 and verse 6. And also the sons of the stranger, a stranger being somebody who's not a Jew. Isaiah 56, verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my what? Of my what? All right. What covenant were the Jews under in the Old Testament? It was a Jewish covenant. It was a covenant of Levitical priests. It was a covenant of sacrifices. It was a and if you're going to keep the Sabbath, you have to bring yourself under what? The Old Testament covenant of circumcisions, of feast days, of everything that was Jewish. Is that what you are? Is that what you want to be? No. You have to keep the entire Old Covenant. What did Jesus say? This cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's a brand new covenant. The old covenant is done away. Amen, amen, and amen. When you try to keep the Sabbath, you've got to try to keep the old covenant. And lastly, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you should die. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 verse 15. Exodus 31:15. 6 days may work be done. But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put. Now you know why the Pharisees constantly tried to kill Jesus. Because to them he was working on the Sabbath. Now he wasn't. But boy, did they see him. If he heals someone, that's work. Not for him. But do you see that? If you worked on the Sabbath, if you're a good Seventh-day Adventist, you work accidentally on the Sabbath, they gotta surround you and they gotta kill you. No. No. Alright, simple conclusion. Here's 3 points. You ready? Nobody was required to keep the Sabbath before the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Nobody was required to keep the Sabbath before the law. And no one is required to keep the Sabbath now, after the resurrection. Guess where we're at? We're in the new covenant. Third summary. Jesus, when He arose, He appeared, Mark chapter 16, when the Sabbath was finished. Believe me, He did that on purpose. He waited till the Sabbath was finished before He said to Mary there, not Mary His mother, but the other Mary, He went, boom. Why did He wait until, He was up Saturday night after 6 p.m. Why did He go? He waited till it was morning so that everybody could understand the Sabbath is past. A new day is done. It started. Amen? So, next week we're going to learn what happened to the Sabbath at the cross. But I hope you understand that the Sabbath is not something you have to worry about. Any questions? Any questions? And there will be. Yes, Sir Barry. It's called visions. It's called their prophets. This guy Bates and then Ellen G. White said that she had several visions of the same thing. And because their prophet said it, not because it's out of the Bible, their prophet said it, they believe it. And that's the sign of a cult. Okay? So there is no sense to the things that they believe. They didn't get it from the Bible. He just said, that's the mark of the beast. The Catholics changed it from Saturday to Sunday. All Christians throughout history until the Catholic Church got in power, all Christians worship God on Saturday, which is not true. Anybody else got a question? Yes, sir. Eric.
That's right.
Yeah, generally that's true, but I found that there are some people who are confused. And they grow up in it, but they find out, and it's just like being a Catholic growing up, and if you believed everything the Catholic Church taught, you'd never get there, you couldn't get through a hallway, but much less get to heaven. But some Catholics put two and two together and they just believe on Jesus. And I've met some Seventh-day Adventists who weren't hung up on all the legalism and all of the laws. They really knew Jesus. They just were stuck in a religion they didn't understand. And I don't say that all people can't get saved. Now, some people get in their own Bible and they read their Bible. That's why the Seventh-day Adventists have written their own Bible. And I'll show you next week the most frustrating thing about the new Bibles. They promote pet doctrines. And they rewrote the Bible to promote their private doctrines that Jesus was not the Son of God. He was Michael the Archangel. And get saved. Then they can't be saved. And I'm just telling you, a lot of Seventh-day Adventists are not that smart to know all the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventists, okay? So, some of them get saved, but they're very confused and... Yes. But a lot of, and this is my point, a lot of times we don't realize how valuable what we believe is. Like I gave those eight things about what we believe because Jesus believed it. I mean, not just because I find it in the Bible. Question, do you find the emphasis on Sabbath in the Bible, yes or no? Yes. Just because they find it in the Bible, they will use it against you. So you can't battle them on, it's in the Bible. You have to say, but what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say, I'm the Lord of covetousness. True. But watch my logic, simple logic. He didn't say, I'm the Lord of adultery. Did he say that? But I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So wow, he supersedes the Sabbath. And if he says anything about the Sabbath, it supersedes the entire Old Testament. And the Seventh-day Adventists can't comprehend that. Okay? So you're going to have to, if you know some of these things, you can't know it all, but if you know some of these things, you get more sharp about what you believe and what Jesus said, because people will always use the Bible against you, and they'll twist the thing. I just want to know what Jesus believed. Listen to these words. You ready? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't even live by my own faith. I live by what He believed. I live by what He lived. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God only. I just believe what He believed. So that's a very powerful... If you're talking to a Seventh-day Adventist, guess what you have to say? Let's look what Jesus said. Let's look what He believed. And that settles it. It should. You know, there'll be madder. Woo! There'll be madder. Then angrier than you can imagine. Because to them, you are the Antichrist. Because you first got on something. So, just love them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why, or what do you mean? Okay, did Jesus say we're not under the law? I don't know. Paul said it about 15 times. He said, well, you're not under the law, but under grace. But, I would use this verse in John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1 here. The law came by Moses, right? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that's what I would use with somebody who's trying to keep the law. Is John chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there, where it says, the law was given by Moses. We agree with that. But grace came by Jesus Christ. So that's the New Testament. That's John chapter 1 right off the bat. So that ought to help you when you're dealing with them. So again, everything that Paul said, Jesus originated. Paul just explained it, okay? Yes. From law to grace. Yes. Now, thankfully, there's grace throughout the Old Testament. There's Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's grace But boy, there's heavy-handed law. But under the new covenant, whew, wow. What a thing grace is, okay? All right, any other questions? Brother Dennis. Mm-hmm. They believe that Jesus was under God. Jesus was an angel who became a man, just like the Mormons, just like a lot of different crazy cults that make Jesus into an angel instead of into God come in the flesh. I mean, the Muslims will say that Jesus was a prophet come from God, but that's as far as they'll go. I'm sorry. Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." End of story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. No. Yes. That's right. And if anybody comes not with the doctrine of Christ, have nothing to do with them. Okay, who Christ was. Christ. That's why Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So you've got to believe that, or else you're not going to get in. Anybody else? This is very good. You may think that, no, one of these days you'll go head to head, and you'll go, "Man, I wish I remembered what to say." Well, it's just to give you an understanding that they're worth witnessing to. They're worth talking to, because would you like to live under that system? They're not just confused Christians. They're in bondage. And Galatians chapter 5 says, chapter 5, verse 1, what does it say? "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," not license to sin, but in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, "and be not entangled again with the yoke of," and he's talking about the yoke not of addiction, the yoke not of a bondage to sin, but the yoke of bondage to the law, and to the flesh, and to the keeping of the law, and worrying about your salvation. How many people, you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it, how many people have worried, "Am I really saved?" Doubted your salvation. Man, you got to decide, am I free, or am I still under performance? Folks, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Amen? All right. Next week, I'll try to show you a little bit more about what happened to the Sabbath, and we'll move on through some of the other things. I'll give you some quotes out of the Clear Word Bible that'll make the hair stand on the back of your neck. You'll come unglued. You won't believe how people will think that they can change the Bible. You know what the Bible says? If you change that Bible, you have changed your salvation and you've damned your soul. Don't change one word. Don't change one word.